offer some reflections on what we're doing here and on what we could understand as the practice of no escape. There's many different things that we've been engaged in since we arrived here, sitting and walking both in this space and outside, taking meals, doing our various activities that we need to take care of ourselves, bathroom, laundry, if we've got that far already, which I was surprised to find I had this afternoon. There's many different things that we're engaged in, and sometimes we think that's what's going on, that's what we're doing. But here, really, the underlying intention and the underlying invitation is towards inhabiting our life, towards consciously engaging with our experience, coming into direct contact with what's happening. And when we are invited or encouraged to do this, what tends to become reasonably quickly apparent, what we tend to notice quite soon, is that in fact we spend a lot of time escaping our experience. We spend a lot of time departing at, sometimes it seems, high speed for parts elsewhere or things other than what's actually going on for us or in us or around us. And it's useful to reflect on and to understand practice in this way, the acknowledging and the releasing ourselves from the habitual, compulsive and conditioned habit of departing from our life, of escaping from where we are. And when we come on retreat, we might be quite well aware of how in our lives we tend to use sort of activities such as entertainment, television, computers, various forms of activity that we use as a way of keeping ourselves occupied, but without really being in relationship with ourselves or another, without really being in touch with our experience. Probably most of us know that we do it, and sometimes are quite happy that we do it. Sometimes it seems like quite a relief from everything else, and other times may question whether we really want to be spending time and energy actively removing ourselves from what's going on. And when we come on retreat, perhaps we feel that we'll be able to really be present, we'll be able to really engage, connect. And yet, what also we see, much as in our lives, is the habit and tendency of the mind to go somewhere else. And remarkable it is, in fact. Sometimes it's rather frustrating and perhaps even annoying when we see, despite the best attempts and application of our intention, that the mind doesn't really stay very steady where we are. We can see how sometimes we just get lost in thinking, stories about past and future. We can see sometimes that we get very interested in what's going on around, and you know, one of the things one can see quite often is how many times we read a schedule that's posted on the notice board. Now we know exactly what's going to happen in 45 minutes time because it happened 45 minutes previously. There's a sitting followed by a walking. And then another one. And yet we go and look at the schedule again just to make sure it's not changed since the last time. It's a brief luxury on this retreat because really the only day we'll have a schedule posted is today. So after today there won't be any opportunity to go and look at that. But what you may notice nonetheless is a way in which we look for things to get busy with, get engaged with, as a way of just not really landing where we are. And we don't necessarily do this intentionally, but we do actually have a certain responsibility. There's a way in which we actually are, we could say, volitional. Not intentional, but volitional. There is a a movement within us that we can see, that we can recognize, that takes us away, that looks sometimes quite actively for something else to be entertained by. It's remarkable how interesting the labels on a bottle or a box of fruit become when we haven't had too much stimulation or entertainment. To notice this tendency of mind is actually really important, because if we see how it goes on, if we start to look at it, the tendency, the habit to actually leave, to go somewhere else, we can reflect on what underlies that pattern, that habit. To begin with, there's the wish to escape what's here, it seems. The wish to not experience what we're in contact with. Experiences arising in our body, our heart, or our mind, which is pretty much where they tend to arise, to notice what's going on if we actually don't want to be there. What's happening if we're uncomfortable and we find our mind busy generating some scenario of future pleasure? Because actually there's some discomfort in the present that we're wanting to escape from. Or we notice the busyness of our mind, and we see it spinning, and we just are wishing for when it would stop. Thinking about sometime further down the line, when we've been doing more meditation, maybe later this retreat, when actually our mind will be quiet and we'll again experience that calm, peaceful moment that we once had on a previous retreat, or that we read about in a book somewhere that's supposed to happen. A lot of fuel for the momentum of escaping is born from our belief or our idea that there's somewhere else or somewhere better that we could escape to. And yet what tends to happen when we live from an unexamined belief in the possibility and the wisdom of escaping our experience, what tends to happen is we are constantly moving from one thing into another. And it's no sooner do we arrive in the next thing than we're again looking for where else we can go. You may have observed this here. It's kind of interesting how sometimes when one is sitting in meditation, as we were this morning together in this space, and the bell rings, and sometimes there's almost a palpable sense of, finally, at last, it's finished. And, sound of creaky bodies stretching, and, it's like, we're so happy to escape from having to sit unmoving on the floor watching this ever so elusive breathing experience. And we're so happy that now we can do some walking meditation. Great. But it doesn't take that long, does it? Walking back and forth and back and forth and going nowhere, and it seems to be getting nowhere. We think, oh, the sitting was actually a lot better than that. And we start to wonder and wait and hope for this to end so we can go to the sitting, which just a little while ago we were happy to get out of. Or this afternoon, walking. And did you ever notice yourself thinking, I wish we could stop now? It'd be nice to have a break. And of course, eventually we do stop. And then we're sitting, and we're not doing anything. We're just sitting there. And again, the thought comes up, well, I wish this would end, so now I can go walking again. And it's like, well, what's going on? If this keeps happening, what's going on? Because first of all, what we notice is that it's exhausting. It's like if we arrive here tired, it's quite possible that some of the way we get tired in life is by the fact that we keep moving towards something else. We keep moving away from where we are. This process of seeking after something else. And it's not just tiring, it's really unsatisfying. Have you noticed what it's like to be sitting there wishing for something else to happen? To be sitting there waiting for the last person to arrive in the circle so we'll actually go somewhere, or something will get said, or something we hope will happen? And the last person isn't arriving. And we don't want to just be there and standing in a circle in the sun waiting for something to happen. It's no fun. It's not meditation, or we think it's not really any, you know, it's just a waste of time, we might imagine. And yet, it's again, it's that movement of trying to get out of where we are, and how uncomfortable that is. And yet we think it's uncomfortable because of the situation we're in, because of the experience that's happening. It's because my knee hurts when I'm sitting, that's why there's a problem here. Or it's because it's too hot when I'm walking outside, that's why there's a problem here. Or there's too many stones, I'm getting in my sandals, that's what the problem is. And yet, actually, if we look, we'll see there are other times when our knee is just as sore, or the sun is just as hot, or there's just as many rocks in our sandals, and actually we feel fine. We actually don't mind them. It's not actually the experience that's happening that is the problem. It's the pressure of wanting to go somewhere else when we can't. It's a frustrated energy of, get me out of here, but where can you go? Where else is there to go? What other body, mind or heart have you got that you can inhabit? We invest so much hope in the prospect of something else, somewhere else, than this. But even when it is, it doesn't last that long. And there's a point at which one might start to feel a little tired of this constant seeking for, wanting to get somewhere else. Not to judge ourselves if we notice it, but actually feel what it's like. Notice how actually it's not a place we'd really want to live, in that sense of going somewhere else, got to get away from this. There's a certain tightness, there's a certain contraction in it that's actually really painful. If we don't see this, if we don't understand this, then the thought that arises in the mind says that actually the problem is what's happening. The problem is my experience. I need to fix it. I need to change it. I need to get a better one, or the right one, or a more spiritual one. If only my mind would be quiet, my body be comfortable, my heart be at peace, then I could practice. Then I'd be having a good retreat. Then the purpose for which I came here would seem to be being fulfilled. And yet, well, it'd be all very well if you could make it happen, just, you know, clap the hands and transform it, but mostly we find we can't do that. So maybe it would be useful to consider whether there's some other possibility. And I imagine for many of you, you've reflected on this before and wouldn't be finding these words necessarily something new. And yet when we look at our heart and our mind, what we see is that nonetheless, even though we might understand this at some level, we can still be drawn and so often are pulled out of where we are looking for something else. Looking for another, for a different, for a better, for an improved experience. So long as we are living within this habit, within this tendency of escaping, so long as we don't really question it, then the qualities we have for finding true happiness are limited, are constrained, are bound by the fact that we can never be happy when we're looking at our life from that perspective, from that sense of, how will I get it to be the way I want it? How will I improve it? How will I escape from where I am into somewhere better? That's not to say that there isn't the valid and appropriate aspiration for growth, for transformation. But that comes through something different than trying to escape from where we are. The Buddha once commented at the beginning of his spiritual journey in reflecting upon this situation and reflecting upon the fact that the experiences that he was having were not giving him the satisfaction that he sought. That when he related to it from the point of view, he discovered that I need to somehow have a better or a different experience. It didn't seem to be of any value. And his reflection or his comment at the beginning of his journey was, I am subject to birth, aging and death. Does it make sense for me to pursue other experiences which are also subject to birth, aging and death? Or would it not make more sense, given that I am subject to being born and dying, that I seek for that which is not subject to being born and dying? Often, this, we could say, place of departure insofar as marking a movement away from a life spent concerned primarily with creating material experiences and circumstances as the basis of satisfaction, towards examining what other possibility there might be, is part, I think, of all of our journey. Where we actually see that all too easily spiritual practice becomes just another expression of the same tendency. It's perhaps one of the most common frustrations, and certainly one of the most frequent comments in meditation interviews, that the mind will not get calm or quiet. That we find things arising that are difficult. Stories of the tragedies or the triumphs, the pain, or the sweetness of our past or our anticipated future. And within that busyness, that activity, we often feel that when it calms down, this will be the place of our practice. This will be important. And we can think in terms of getting concentrated, bringing the mind to stillness. Not in the way that is actually useful and wholesome, which is that quality of collectedness, of gatheredness, that allows us to see clearly and to meet and inhabit our experience directly, but more because this becomes a place of escape. And particularly for those who've done some practice before, and that's pretty much all of you. It can be, we remember those times of calm and stillness, and this becomes the place to which we seek to escape. This becomes the object of our grasping, our desire. And then the experience which is not this, the experience of a mind that's busy, or bouncy, or dreary and dull, somehow becomes the problem. The experience of a body that's restless or drowsy or uncomfortable or too hot or sticky or dusty becomes the problem. Or the arising in our hearts of difficult feelings. This becomes the problem. And yet ultimately it's not. It's not the problem. Explore this. We are encouraged, invited in teachings, instructions, to actually come back and see what it's like to be where we are. What it's like to inhabit our experience as it is, rather than to try and fix or change it. So much time and energy in our lives goes into that. That attempt to fix, that attempt to change. And in the retreat, we can actually start to feel how there may be the possibility of coming to rest in our experience as it is. This invitation has a remarkable amount to offer us, this possibility. And yet, to our mind, it doesn't necessarily seem like it's that inviting. It doesn't really present as though this is what I'm after. It's kind of ordinary, it's kind of boring, it's kind of more of the same, perhaps. And yet what happens when we actually really allow ourselves to connect with our experience? To really allow ourselves to arrive where we are. One of the things we notice is that actually, you know, sometimes it's quite hard. What's happening is actually challenging or threatening in some way. And it's really important to acknowledge this, that at times our experience is challenging, is hard. And coming on retreat, it can seem sometimes like it's being even made more difficult. You know, it's bad enough having to sit without moving on a cushion in a room, but being required to sit unmoving on a rock in the middle of a pile of rocks, with a number of small rocks poking in all the sort of tender parts. It seems like, well, why would you do that? Why would you do that? And I'd be surprised if most of you hadn't at some point asked yourself that question. Why am I doing this? Because I don't have to. It's not required. I could stay in the hangar and sit on a comfortable chair and probably have a quieter, calmer mind. And what we might think of, we wouldn't be right, we might think of as a deeper meditation experience. But we can't measure depth in just one dimension. And we tend to think of depth as being associated with the stillness of the mind. And this is really only one aspect of meditative practice. Sometimes it's because it's the one that can be most easily measured, it's the one that we think of or identify with a lot. So if we find our mind is busy or distracted or fragmented, we feel like we're really doing badly. We're really not succeeding at all. We feel maybe hard on ourselves. We can be quite sometimes judgmental or critical of our own experience, of our own practice. And yet there's much more to meditation than this. Learning to open to our experience, to actually release the resistance and the habitual reaction of avoidance, is actually ultimately more transformative than simply stilling the mind. And putting yourself in a situation where we have actually less possibility of controlling or adjusting or fixing the experience that we're having is not an easy thing to do, but done with a spirit of care for oneself rather than out of some sort of boot camp mentality where we're really pushing, done out of a spirit of care and of interest, what we can actually start to see, or what shows, is that what we actually seek most deeply to escape from is not our experience itself, but the sense we have of being limited by it. The sense that we have of being bound by our experience. Having our happiness and well-being controlled or limited by what is happening. And much of the time this is how it seems to be. Because we're not actually fully in our experience. We're one or two or more steps removed from it in reaction, pushing away the things that are uncomfortable, grasping towards the things that we like. It takes an immense amount of courage, actually, to make the conscious choice to not do that. To see what happens when we actually allow ourselves to be where we are. When we allow ourselves to be in the experience that's happening. So often what's difficult about what's happening in any moment is the thought that either it will go on forever or that I can't cope with it. And they usually go together. It's interesting to notice when we think, I can't do that. What it usually means, now there are exceptions. Sometimes that's not so, but usually what it means is actually it seems like it's going to be really difficult and I don't want to. But if we actually are willing to feel into that place, and again, it requires an immense amount of kindness to ourselves to engage in this practice, to actually feel into that place and actually make space in our hearts for the fear we might have of contacting that which is difficult. We can actually just be there. What we notice and what people regularly describe and report in their experience is a sense of somehow finding space and possibility within the actual experience. There's something hard to explain about how this happens, and yet we can know this in those moments when we really are there, when we're not going somewhere else. We just need to give up on the hope of escape, because there isn't somewhere else. There isn't something else. And see what's there when we don't. Do that. That's really the question of our practice, of our retreat. It's the question of our life. Are we willing to take this one? And probably so long as we think there's another option, there's a reasonable chance that we'll have some hesitation in saying yes. Understand that there isn't. There really is, in the end, no other option that makes sense. To see that we can, at times, it seems, escape our experience. It seems at times possible we can adjust, we can organize, we can make it different. And no reason why not to, often. If our knee is really painful, sure, we can straighten the leg. If we're feeling thirsty, we can have a drink. In fact, it's kind of wise. But although we can sometimes escape our experience, we can never escape our mind. What would it be, after all, that escapes our mind? It's the mind itself trying to escape from itself that actually drives the life, drives us in life. And when we put it like that, we see that actually it's kind of ridiculous. It's not going to work. It's like trying to escape from your shadow. What we actually need to do is turn back towards our life. So long as we're oriented toward escaping from, we aren't actually looking at, we aren't actually seeing, we aren't actually fully in contact with our experience. And in that lack of contact, in that lack of actually inhabiting, of actually being there, we feel a sense of lack, of something missing, of somehow being disconnected. And we think it's because it's the wrong experience happening, but it's not. It's because we haven't actually fully met, held, inhabited the experience that is happening. And in the moments when we do, when we actually, it seems almost miraculously, and despite our, you know, attempts to go anywhere but into our experience, when it happens, and sometimes it's just like grace, it just, we're there, we're just with a breath or a step or the sound of the dogs barking or whatever. We're just there. There's something, there's a quality to it that we can sense, that resonates in us, that speaks of that which we're looking for. To actually allow ourselves to not have to produce any great results from this retreat, or to develop any spectacular esoteric meditations or meditation experiences. Such things happen on occasion, and why not? But not required. But to actually turn wholeheartedly towards our life, to actually embrace it, to actually trust that this is possible for us. The beginning of perhaps true escape, we could say, is when we escape from our belief in our limitations. The idea that I cannot be with my life, that I cannot meet my experience, that I cannot be here and inhabit this. By the very fact that it is happening, it means we can. When you do, what is noticeable is that something in us releases, softens, relaxes. And it's a sense of the struggle and the distance and the separation we have from our life. When we actually come into it, when we actually allow ourselves to really feel, to really be touched, to really inhabit our experience. Meditation can be used sometimes as a way of keeping it at a safe distance, making it kind of clinical, making it kind of unimportant. And that's actually not, I would suggest, what meditation is really intended to do. Because if in any way we're keeping ourselves apart or separate from our experience through meditation or through distraction or other forms of escape, then we're always going to be experiencing this gap and the effort and the struggle to maintain it. To actually come into our life, to come into our experience, to feel deeply what it is to be that which you are. To allow yourself to have the thoughts, the feelings, the body sensations that arise without having to become lost in them, to simply know them as they are, to really be there. This is to begin to discover the teachings are pointing us towards. Talk of escape, and there's something in us that resonates with it because we feel a sense of being bound or limited. And so far as this is true, it's an important inquiry or an important direction to be exploring. But travel is the opposite to our habit. Our habit is to somewhere else, to something else. And the direction of travel in which not so much escape, but we could say deliverance, release. The direction of travel in which this is revealed, or through which this is found, is always towards the truth of our experience, the immediacy of where we are. And so this practice is a practice of no escape, a practice in which we see the many ways in which we depart, and we learn to come back, to actually inhabit, start to see that when we don't relate to experience as something which is to be fixed, manipulated, escaped, it simply becomes that which is happening, that which is happening and is known in this moment, experienced in this situation. As that happens, the sense of a gap between ourself and our experience starts to dissolve, starts to soften, disappear perhaps. And not only in that process do we somehow no longer feel separate from what's going on within us, but equally we can start to see that we are not separate from what is going on around us. Because these two ways of experiencing or understanding what is happening are dependent upon each other. And one cannot be sustained without the other. In making ourselves separate from experience and seeking to control it or manipulate it, we also become separate from the world. In inhabiting, unconditionally inhabiting our experience, we find ourselves in no way separate from anything at all. Practice together. So we sit and walk inside and outside as we go through our days. Possible for you to really trust that you can wholeheartedly, unconditionally be where you are, and that's enough. That's enough. All else flows from this. So, shall we just sit quietly for a few moments, please? May we all, through our practice here together, enter more and more fully into our experience and come to know the deliverance born of no escape for our own welfare and that of all beings.